chapter 9 again today. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. We'll go ahead and read the entire text from last week, as this is a three-part message series. Verse 18, it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. The saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world, lose himself, or be cast away? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his own Father and of his holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some here, some standing here, which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." I guess we title this the gospel. The gospel. And we're looking at the gospel in substance, the gospel in subject, and the gospel in success from these words that we've read this morning. Last week we looked at the gospel in substance. What is the substance of the gospel? What is the gospel made of? What is the gospel message? It's the message of his suffering for us, for his people. It's the message of how he would be rejected of the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers and the people, even of the Gentiles and the Roman authorities. The gospel is made up of his suffering, his rejection, his being slain, killed, and his being raised again. Today we want to consider the gospel in subject. What is the subject that we're called to preach? Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you think I am?" And God had already revealed to them, as we compare gospel with gospel, God had already revealed unto them that he was the Christ of God, or he was the Messiah. He was the anointed of God. And Jesus Christ tells them not to tell anybody that. That wasn't the subject of their preaching. That wasn't the subject that they were going to be sent forth to preach. They were going to be sent to preach the gospel. That was going to be their subject. And so they weren't allowed to tell anybody that he was the Messiah, that he was the anointed, he was the Christ of God, because it was too early. With what the Jews were looking for in a Messiah and what they were looking for in the Son of God, the Son of Man, wouldn't have been anything at all in relationship to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that wasn't going to be their subject. That wasn't going to be their message. And it's after that the Lord commands them to tell no man that thing, that he says, I must suffer. I must be rejected. I must be slain. I must rise again. There's many reasons, as I've already stated, a couple, as to why he told them not to tell anybody these things. And I thought about this, and I don't know that I remember ever thinking specifically along these lines, but John the Baptist was sent from God. He was the only one sent from God. Do you ever consider the fact that Jesus Christ is the only preacher at this time? He's the only shepherd. He had come to prepare a people from amongst those that John had baptized. He had come to prepare a people to be saved by his grace and by his gospel, and to prepare them for sending forth to the harvest with that subject, with that message, the gospel. So they didn't know anything. They didn't know what the substance of the gospel was. They didn't understand what the subject of the gospel was, what it was they were going to preach, what it was they were going to teach, what they were going to proclaim, what they were going to speak forth. In fact, in Mark's gospel, let me see where I wrote my note down. It's Matthew's gospel. We won't turn there. Chapter 16. Concerning the gospel in its substance, the suffering of Christ, the rejection of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Peter was so unlearned and so uninformed on the subject of the gospel and what it was they were going to preach that he actually resisted Christ talking about going to the gospel. Oh, no, Lord, it can't be that. We're not going to let that happen. And the Lord called him an adversary, an enemy. He actually called him Satan, which most likely spoke of his adversarial comments. God had revealed to Peter that Christ was the Christ and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all a part of the process here, but the Son was the Messiah, was to be the Messiah. And God had revealed that unto them, and yet they weren't allowed to tell anybody that, because that wasn't going to be their subject. So Peter and the apostles were going to have to be taught. They were going to have to be trained. They were going to have revelation given to them to understand what the subject was they were going to be preaching and teaching following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They fought the real gospel, thinking it would be some other way. Christ corrected Peter, saying, no. Nope, that's the message. That's the subject. Look back over, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now this is after the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Christ, after the resurrection, appears to the 11. Judas, of course, has hung himself. And Jesus says, beginning with verse number 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. He was proving to them he was resurrection. He was proving to them that he was flesh and bones. He was going to prove it by eating before them, because he's preparing to reveal to them the subject of their preaching, what it was they were going to be sent forth to preach, and that was the gospel. Verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were spoken in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." The substance of the gospel is his suffering, his rejection, his being slain, his being raised again. The subject of the gospel concerning what they were going to preach following the fulfillment of all these things was that gospel message. And after the resurrection, it's opened up to their understanding. And as it's opened up to their understanding, God allows them to put one and one together and to understand what Jesus Christ said, when he said it, what he meant by saying it. And as he reveals unto them that he's really risen, he reveals unto them that this has now fulfilled all things, and this is what you're going to preach. This is what you're going to go forth with. "And ye are witnesses of these things." Ye are witnesses of these things. Now Jesus Christ was going to return to the Father. He was going to no longer be the single preacher, the single message, the single one there. He had fulfilled all that he had sent of the Father to do. And he had prepared the others to go forth as witnesses, to go forth as preaching and preachers of his gospel. And he went back up to the Father, and he seated at the right hand of the Father immediately following his ascension, as Acts chapter 1 makes it very plain. The gospel of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go preach." In the Great Commission passage of Matthew chapter 28, he says, "Go into all the world, teach all nations." Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'm sorry. Go ahead and go to the book of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 24. Nope. Chapter 16. verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Go ye into all the world. What were they to preach? What was their subject? They were to preach the gospel. That was the subject that Jesus Christ gave them, the subject that he fulfilled by doing all that the Father had sent him to do, the subject that he had fulfilled by giving his life, being buried, and rising again. Romans chapter 10, we won't turn there, talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. Because it's a wonderful thing to be called to preach. You're all called to preach. It's a wonderful thing to be called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You all, everyone here, is called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing to take the good news, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to take that message to a lost and dying soul who will die and go to hell if they don't hear that message. It's a wonderful thing. And all of us are called to take that subject. We're not beautiful literally, physically, but the imagery is we're a beautiful thing when we have the gospel to give to somebody who's lost and dying. I referenced Acts 1 verse 8 a little while ago, and let's go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 1. Jesus speaking in verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He spoke these words just before he ascended back up to glory. Like we read there in Mark's Gospel, ye shall be witnesses of me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the suffering, the rejection, the slaying, the rising again of Jesus Christ. That gospel is the subject that the disciples were sent to preach and to teach, what the first church was sent to preach and to teach. And was to continue the responsibility of all churches of the Lord that would ever come into existence. Their message, first and foremost, would be the gospel. The resurrection, along with the other parts as are contained in our passage of Scripture. I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I know I've come to this passage of Scripture before. And this isn't the first time that it really hit me. I know it's moved me a time or two before this. But it moved me afresh. It moved me anew. Let's look here in John chapter 14. Verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Consider the statement of the Lord there, if ye loved me. Complete it any way it comes to your mind. But hear the Lord saying, to every one of us, if you love me, if you love me. To the disciples, he said, if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, but my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world is the Satan, the devil. He was on his way, the final hours of Christ's time before his arrest and crucifixion are before him. He's not going to have much opportunity to speak to them as he has all these years. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. This is the verse that really got hold of me all over again. Listen to what Christ is saying. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. I haven't been able to verify it officially, but I was reading and I saw a couple times where men have said, this is the only place where Jesus actually says, I love the Father. And that's what he says in verse number 31. I love the Father. I love God. I love the Father. And he says there concerning the love that he has for the Father, but that the world may know that I love the Father, that I may give proof positive to the world that I love my Heavenly Father, that there's no doubt that I love God, my Father. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. We speak a lot about God loves us. God loved us so much he gave his only begotten son. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us. But we're not talking about God loving us. We're not talking about Jesus loving us in this passage of scripture. We're talking about the love Christ had for the Father. He publicly declares, I love my Heavenly Father. I love God, my Father. And it's because I love my Father that I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to the cross so that the world may know I love my Father. I mean, that just is overwhelming for us to recount the fact that Jesus loved the Father like a father. And it was because he loved the Father that he came into this world. And he suffered, and he was rejected, and he was slain, and he rose again. It was because he loved the Father that he did all these things. And he did all of these things to prove to the world he loved the Father. So I go back to that question, or that statement in verse number 28. Jesus says, if you love me, you love Jesus? How do you prove it? How do you evidence it? How do you show to the world that you love Jesus? We're very quick to quote the passage of Scripture that says, we prove to the world we love Jesus when we love one another. And that certainly is what the Scripture says. But Jesus proved his love to the world for God the Father by being perfectly obedient and by giving his life for us. So it wasn't first and foremost that he loved us that took him to the cross. First and foremost, it was the fact that he loved the Father that took him to the cross. And of course, he loves us, and that was a part of why he gave his life as a shepherd, being slain. But Jesus says, if you love me. Another passage of scripture we've looked at recently from another gospel said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I say. You'll be obedient. Go with me. To the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, what's the word that they need to hear? It's the gospel. It's the message of his suffering, his rejection, his being slain, his resurrection. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So the subject that they were going to be sent with, the subject that they were going to be sent to preach, was the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were sent not with the message that he was divine, he was deity. They were sent not with the message that he was the Son of God. They were not sent with the message that he was God in the flesh, the Messiah. They were sent with the death, burial, and resurrection message. That was the subject that he said to go preach. That was the subject that he said, how beautiful are the feet of those who spread this good news. That was the subject that they were sent to be witnesses of. That was the subject that is described as the power of God in 1 Corinthians 1:16. And it was that message that Christ lived. It is that message that Christ went through to prove to the world his love for the Father. Now we prove our love to the Son by following his example, shouldn't we? Has he not sent us? Has he not given us the same message? Is our message not the same subject? Has he not revealed to us by personal experience and taught us by the Holy Spirit that the gospel message is about his death, burial, and resurrection for sinners? Do we not have what they need to hear? Do we not have what they certainly is indispensable to their being saved? Yes, we do. But if you love me, Jesus said, how do you prove it? I loved my Father and I proved it by giving my life in obedience. I was able to hang there upon the cross in those last moments. And I was able to say, it is finished. It's finished. And I did all that to prove my love for the Father. I did all that to prove that he had sent me. Are we likewise proving our love to Christ by going, by obeying, by telling, by sharing others? Because if we'll share the message with others. The fact of life is not everybody's going to be saved. Cold hard facts of life is most that we tell about Jesus Christ are not going to be saved. They're not going to respond. They're not going to get it. They're not going to have the Spirit of God fall upon them. But the great news is there is a people out there God has chosen to save. And He's chosen to save them through the means of the preaching of the gospel, and He's chosen to have us take that gospel message. So just chew on that thought. That the world may know that I love God. That the world may know that I love the Father. I've done all of these things that were a part of the gospel. I've done all these things that He sent me to do. That the world might know. He brought us the substance of the gospel. He gave us the subject of the gospel to preach and to teach. And He sent us. Are we going? Are we obeying? Are we proving? Are we giving any evidence we love Jesus by our obedience and taking the gospel? Because the next message we bring from this passage of Scripture from Luke 9 is the gospel in success. You have the gospel in substance, you have the gospel in subject, and in this passage of Scripture, you have Christ showing us what is the successful end of the preaching of the gospel. What is the successful end? And you're going to say, oh, that's the salvation of a soul. Well, that's the climax, that's the greatest news there is. That's not the real evidence of a successful into the preaching of the gospel that Jesus Christ deals with in our text from Luke chapter 9. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.